And welcome to this gathering of Hope Community Church. If you could find in your Bibles the book of Ephesians, we'll be going to chapter 6. Ephesians chapter 6 would be great. Let's see here. Let me begin with this comment, and then we'll read the scripture actually in a few moments. Our defeated enemy, the devil, wants you to go through life with your spiritual tank dry. He wants you to not know that your spiritual tank is indeed full in Christ. He wants you to run on empty, as it were. That reminds me of a story. There's a story of an old man with an old truck and a small can of gas, small red can of gasoline in his truck. He was driving along in his community, in the outskirts of his community one day, and he saw a relatively new, sporty-looking car pulled off alongside of the road with its hood up, and the owner of the car was there, and he pulled over to see what he could do to help. It turns out it was a businessman who was in a hurry, and he was convinced that he could make it to his destination without filling up his tank, and so he tried and failed. Pulled off alongside the road, and the old man said, "You know, I can help. I will give you a gallon of gas. I just happen to have that in my truck." And he filled it up with, you know, gave him the gallon, and the businessman thanked him profusely and hurried on his way. And the old man continued driving throughout the community, and in a short period of time, he encountered the businessman again. Same situation. Tank was empty, and the hood was up, and he was alone in the car and frustrated and wanting to get to where he was going, but couldn't. Turns out the businessman was in such a hurry in life. This had happened before, and it's bound to happen again. You hear that story, and you think, well, gee, that's so obvious. Dude, stop and get gas. Okay, well, let's apply that to the spiritual arena. How many of you, and you don't need to answer that, but perhaps I could just put it this way in a hypothetical. You know what? It is possible to live life with such a pace and such a hurry that you are convinced that you are too busy for God. Too busy to pray, too busy to read the scripture, too busy for whatever in terms of a spiritual discipline. And it could be that you're running through life and it's as if your spiritual tank is empty, even though in Christ it is quite full. But it might feel empty to you, that you're disconnected and it feels as if the tank is dry. Satan wants you to be convinced that your spiritual tank is dry and you have no resources. The Bible indicates otherwise. Here's one Bible verse. We're just getting to Ephesians yet. How about Romans 12:12? See if that's working. Back that up. I might have clicked it several times. Going for Romans 12. If you could click on that one, there it is. Be joyful in hope, patient in affliction, faithful in prayer. And that's given to us in command form. Faithful in prayer. I've thought about that from time to time. What does it mean to be faithful in prayer? Who do I need to be praying for? How do I pray for me? How do I pray for the church? Faithful in prayer. Not casual in prayer. Not occasional in prayer. Faithful in prayer. Here's another one. 1 Peter chapter 5, verse 8. I think we might have looked at this last week. Be self-controlled and alert. Your enemy, the devil, prowls around like a roaring lion looking for someone to devour. Came across, I don't know, one of those social media posts that had this phrase attached to that verse. Pray without ceasing because Satan prays without ceasing. And if you're listening audio, that might not make a lot of sense. Pray, we pray, P-R-A-Y. Satan prays, P-R-E-Y. He's looking at you as prey. He wants to pounce. He wants to attack. A number of years ago, and you may remember the story that I shared at the very beginning of this series, looking at my son who was asleep in his crib, actually breathing, a breathing baby, which was good for us at that time. And I remember shortly afterwards, this scene was something that I encountered. I never got the print, but this is it's a painting or a print, and it shows a man kneeling at the bedside of his young son, and he's praying. And I don't know if you can tell, but over the man's left shoulder, there's some light coming in from the outside, and it's forming the shape of a cross, and that cross lays right across this child's body. And you can see the top part of the cross just to the lower part of where the child's head is. So the light's coming in, and it's casting a cross on the body, and that's intentional, meaning that this dad was praying spiritual protection on his son. Praying, he was interceding. He was praying warfare for his son. Today I want to give you some encouragement toward prayer. You might not feel as if you are good at prayer. You might not feel as if you have the right words to say when you pray. You might even feel as if prayer doesn't do a whole lot of good, but I want to encourage you from the scripture that you can pray, and you can pray quite well. You may have noticed that I've given it's been my sole emphasis during this series on spiritual warfare, to be strong in the Lord. I have not talked to you or taught you at all about shouting down the devil and his demons. Spiritual warfare is much more about being strong in the Lord, being strengthened by the Lord. And we're going to learn today that the Holy Spirit is a huge help in prayer. So I have just three verses for you in Ephesians chapter 6, if we could read those now. Chapter 6, verse 18 of Ephesians says, "And pray in the Spirit." So this is after the spiritual armor has been discussed, and we've read the totality of this passage several weeks in a row. So verse 18, "Pray in the Spirit on all occasions, with all kinds of prayers and requests. With this in mind, be alert and always keep on praying for all the saints. Pray also for me that whenever I open my mouth, words may be given me so that I will fearlessly make known the mystery of the gospel, for which I am an ambassador in chains. Pray that I may declare it fearlessly as I should." So take your outline, if you don't mind, or if you are one who likes to mark up things. I've got scripture on the left side of your outline, Ephesians chapter 6, verse 18. Let's go through, and I want you to underline the words that indicate prayer. I want you to see how much it occurs in just this short paragraph. Underline the phrase, praying the Spirit, and we'll be talking about that in some detail as we go through. So underline prayers in the Spirit, and the next line down, prayers and requests. So pray in the Spirit ought to be underlined, prayers and requests. And at the end of that verse, with this in mind, keep on praying, underline the word praying for all the Lord's people. Verse 19 begins with the word pray, underline that one. And then in verse 20, the last sentence says, pray that I may declare it fearlessly, underline the word pray. Okay, look at what you just underlined. Pray in the Spirit, prayers and requests. Keep on praying. Pray also for me. Pray that I may declare it fear. There's just, you get the impression that the entire letter of Ephesians, which just sort of culminates with this, it's as if Paul has been building up to this moment. Right now, he wants you to hear this, and there's this big crescendo of prayer. All throughout, we're going to see this today, all throughout the letter to Ephesians, which we consider to be so doctrinally oriented. Top-heavy doctrine, Ephesians is. It's almost as deep and as rich as the book of Romans. Love Ephesians for the doctrine. But this letter is absolutely saturated in prayer. We're going to find that out as we go through it today. So I want to encourage you to prayer. That good doctrine, good study of the Bible ought to lead to prayer, I think, every single time. So if you like to fill in some blanks, you could do this here. Number one, your prayer guide is the Holy Spirit-inspired Word of God. Your prayer guide is the Holy Spirit-inspired Word of God. And I take that from verse 18. When he says, pray in the Spirit, sometimes people will suggest, well, that's a certain kind of prayer language or something that the Holy Spirit gives to you. I look at it more this way. Pray in the Spirit. Take the Holy Spirit-inspired Word of God and let that be your prayer guide. Pray in accordance with what the Holy Spirit has already written down. And I can show you a little bit as we go through what that might look like. Your written prayer guide is the Holy Spirit-inspired Word of God. Here's a second one. Your personal prayer trainer Or you can say teacher, if you like to write down certain words. Your personal prayer trainer or teacher is the Holy Spirit residing within you. I suggest that you are praying in the Spirit when you pray in response to how the Holy Spirit moves you, leads you, teaches you when you're in the Holy Spirit-inspired Word of God. For about a year, I've been using the book of Ephesians as a prayer guide. So I'm not just making up something that I thought on Wednesday. For about a year now, I've been wanting to get better at prayer. And I was tired of, well, I wasn't tired of, because there's some really good books out there on prayer. We should always be reading something, particularly books on prayer. But I felt as if I needed something else. And so, for whatever reason, God led me to Ephesians. And for quite some time, I would be praying in the morning on my knees, and I would have the book of Ephesians open with me. Okay, now what is it that I ought to be praying about again? And it just, so in order to, really for it to be a prayer guide, I needed to read through Ephesians a whole bunch of times so I could understand it, and then begin the basics of using some phrases in here to pray to God. I'll give you some examples. So turn back a page, chapter 5, verse 17. I pray this for my kids, who are all mature adults, followers of Jesus Christ. They're not primary age. They're older, work for a living, career people. Chapter 5, verse 17. Therefore, do not be foolish, but understand what the Lord's will is. So reading along in Ephesians, and I encounter this, and I think, well, I should be praying that for my kids. And I pray the words right out of Scripture. God, help them to not be foolish, but to know what to know what your will is, just like that. And then I move down and I find Ephesians chapter 5, verse 25. Husbands, love your wives just as Christ loved the church and gave himself up for her. I pray that for me. And it's not like I doubt I will ever love Julie or not. You know, that's not up for grabs. But I just pray these words, Lord, help me to love my wife as Christ loved the church. Help me to love her that way. With that kind of depth and that kind of commitment and that kind of sacrifice. Turn back a page, and I found some prayers in Ephesians. You know what? I'm going to change here. Let's go to Ephesians chapter 3. There are two prayers that Paul writes down in the book of Ephesians. And before I forget and miss this one, since it wasn't in my notes, Ephesians chapter 3. There are two. So when you encounter prayers in the Bible and Paul says, I'm praying this for you, you know what? That's fair game. You ought to be praying that. Paul's prayers for the churches are written down in part for you to know how to pray. So this is an example of no one less than the Apostle Paul, who really was one of our best guys in terms of being a church planter and a preacher and someone who understood Scripture. Actually, God wrote Scripture through him. One of our best guys ever. And if he says, I'm praying this, well, take note, that's something that you can be praying about. So Ephesians chapter 3, verse 14. For this reason, I kneel before the Father, from whom his whole family in heaven on earth derives its name. Just a bit of context. He's just gotten done talking about Jew and Gentile now coming into the faith and being part of the one family of God. And so for this reason, why? Because Jews and Gentiles are now in the church. People we don't like sometimes are now in the church. People who are very different now are in the church. People who are not like each other. They don't look like each other. They speak different language. They're all in the church. How are we going to get along? For this reason, I kneel before the Father. I kneel. Well, that taught me I should be on my knees at some point in time. There ought to be some moments when I am praying, and I embrace the humble posture of praying on my knees. And I want you to know I'm on my knees every morning for you folks. In addition to some other times when I'm in here prayer walking or prayer walking around the building, I'm on my knees on a daily basis or a near daily basis. I like that. I kneel before the Father. So verse 16, I pray. So here it is. He tells us. We don't have to guess. You sometimes don't have words. What do I pray for? I don't know what to pray. I'm afraid what someone else is going to think when I pray. God has written it down for you so that you have no doubt whatsoever what you ought to be praying about. I pray that out of his glorious riches, he may strengthen you with power. And as we read this, through this, pay attention to the word power. I pray that out of his glorious riches he may strengthen you with power through his Spirit in your inner being. Not your power, not your smarts, not your resources. Power through his Spirit in your inner being so that Christ may dwell in your hearts through faith. And I pray that you, being rooted and established in love, may have power, there it is again, may have power together with all the saints to grasp how high and wide, or excuse me, I said that wrong, how wide and long and high and deep is the love of Christ. I will sometimes, when I don't know what to pray for someone and I'm supposed to pray for them, I actually use this phrase that they would come to know how wide and long and high and deep is the love of God for them in a relationship with Jesus Christ. Verse 19, and to know this love that surpasses knowledge, that you may be filled to the measure of all the fullness of God. So Satan wants to deplete your tank with busyness and distraction. And here the Apostle Paul is an example of praying it full. Verse 20, now to him who is able to do immeasurably more than all we ask or imagine. That is amazing. I can imagine a lot of things. Wow. I would wager a guess that some of you, though, probably have somebody in your network of relationships and you cannot imagine them coming to faith in Christ. Not with the words that come out of their mouth. Not with those priorities. Not the way they live. Just cannot even imagine that they could possibly come to know Jesus Christ. Well, God is able to do more than you can imagine. Isn't that good? Good news there. I could not imagine my parents coming to know Christ. Prayed for them for 35 years. They came to know Christ, and I was surprised. Oh, man, where did this come from? Well, you know what? People were praying, and there is a God, and he answers prayer. Immeasurably more than we ask or imagine, according to his power. There it is again. Wow. Who said Christians should pray with timidity? I don't see that in Scripture. According to his power that is at work within us, to him be glory in the church and in Christ Jesus through all generations forever and ever. It's a good thing to pray in submission to the glory of God and not for your own glory, not for your own sake, not for your own self. Okay, where was I before I so rudely interrupted myself? We're going to Ephesians chapter 1, is what I heard last. So verse 15, you might think I'm going to read Ephesians 3 again. Verse 15 starts in the same way. For this reason, well, what reason? He began this letter by praising God. We've noted before this is one long sentence from verses 3 through 14 of chapter 1 where he praised God. You know, we're blessed with every spiritual blessing in the heavenly realms, redeemed, adopted, chosen, predestined, all of that. God works everything in conformity with his will. For this reason, ever since I heard about your faith in the Lord Jesus Christ and your love for all the saints, I have not stopped giving thanks for you, remembering you in my prayers. Are you thankful for every member of the body of Christ? Are you thankful for people in the church? Sometimes we lose sight of unity and we actually war against other Christians. That ought not to be. Paul is thankful. Ever since I heard about your faith in the Lord Jesus, and he wasn't there to help him out. It's not like he did it and could claim credit for himself. Ever since I heard about your faith in the Lord Jesus and your love for all the saints, even the Jews and Gentiles together, I have not stopped giving thanks for you, remembering you in my prayers. I keep asking that the God of our Lord Jesus Christ, the glorious Father, may give you the spirit of wisdom and revelation so that you may know him better. I've been praying that for my wife. I've been praying Ephesians 1:17 for my wife. That God would give her a spirit of wisdom and revelation that she could know him better. And I actually see that happening. I've been praying Ephesians 1:18 for me. I pray also that the eyes of your heart may be enlightened in order that you may know the hope to which he has called you, the riches of his glorious inheritance in the saints, and his incomparably great power. There it is again, that power. Wow, in the next sentence, that power is like the working of his mighty strength, which he exerted in Christ when he raised him from the dead, seated him at the right hand in the heavenly realms. Okay, I can't remember all that when I pray. But I do remember this first part. I'm asking God to help me to see that which is unseen, the spiritual reality that is there. I don't really want to see it with my raw eyes, but I want to remember that it's there and be aware. Boy, it's been interesting. These last few weeks have been a journey in terms of deep waves of discouragement. How about a deep wave of anger? Just suddenly I'm driving in the car and I'm mad at somebody who's not even there. Where did this come from? I'm not a discouraged guy. I'm not an angry guy. There's a spiritual reality there, and I think we are more targeted for destruction than we realize. Deceive, divide, and destroy. Okay, so I need to edit my notes here. Went kind of off on that. Ephesians 2:18 is something to encourage you. The contrast of praying in the Spirit, I think, is praying in your own strength. And we do that from time to time. We push our prayers up the field on our own. Here's something good that I think I want. God, be listening to this now. Well, your prayers are brought to God, no matter who you are, no matter how long you've been around, through something. I want us to read this. Ephesians chapter 2, verse 18. For through him, For through him we have both access, so Jew and Gentile. For through him we both have access to the Father by one Spirit. The Holy Spirit grants you access. Your prayer access, yes, I know the prayer avenue is purchased by Jesus Christ on the cross, but that immediate access that you have, your spirit to commune with God's Spirit, that's Holy Spirit. When you hear God speak to you, when you're reading the Word, that's the Holy Spirit, ministry of the Holy Spirit. When God nudges you to pray, that is the Holy Spirit. Now, interesting, most of us learned to pray by listening to the prayers of people. You know, that's how we learn language. We listen to mom and dad and the brothers or sisters, whatever we had growing up in the home. We just listened to language, and we began to speak words and understand that certain words were associated with certain things or events or people. Well, we have prayers written down in the Bible. It seems like we could learn how to pray in the Spirit by reading the Bible and understanding how it is that those guys prayed whose words made it into Scripture. See, we can't see the unseen reality, but the Holy Spirit is very aware of that, and he moved those who wrote down things in Scripture. So let me give it to you this way. How well do you think you see the spiritual battle going on around you? How well do you think the Holy Spirit sees the spiritual battle going on around you? How well do you see the struggle with sin that goes on within you? And how well do you think the Holy Spirit sees the struggle of sin, your struggle with sin going on within you? It can be good to listen to other people pray and hear how they're praying and learn how Jesus is working in them. Oh boy, the Holy Spirit-inspired Word of God is a tremendous prayer guide. It's a tremendous prayer tool. Let's see. Number five. Let's jump down there. Number five. Please observe the big picture as we turn back a page and just think through Ephesians chapter 1. Remember, praise be to God in verse 3. So he starts off with praising and praising and praising God. And then he reaches in verse 15, ever since I heard about your faith in the Lord Jesus Christ, I've not stopped giving thanks for you. What I'm going to suggest is this, and I have found this to be true in my life. Your praise of God affects how you pray for people. You see how this is connected? Where Paul begins this letter praising God for all these great things that he has done in the lives of those who are Christians in Ephesus. So he looks at them and he obviously doesn't see them, but when he thinks of them, he doesn't think of their skills or their job or their personality or their appearance. He doesn't even necessarily think of them as being Jew or Gentile. He is praising God for the gift of salvation and all that God needed to do and in fact did do in order to save them. Not just sending Jesus Christ to the cross, but the decision that was ordained from eternity past. It was decreed that Jesus would go in light of all the sin problem, the history of humanity, and the redemptive thread that he reads throughout Scripture. Paul's taking into mind all of that. He cannot help but give thanks to God for these people that he has never met. It is just astounding to God that here is this stunning example of the grace of God. These people somehow have come to know the same Jesus that he knows. He is thankful for them. Not just thankful that God offered salvation to them. He is thankful for them, and he prays for them without ceasing, evidently. That is amazing. I have not stopped giving thanks for you. Is that your attitude toward your brothers and sisters in Christ? Let me push on this just a bit more. Is there anybody you're mad at? Anybody you criticize in your mind? Is there anybody that you know who's a brother or sister in Christ and you really don't think of them, but when it happens that maybe there's a small piece of bad news that comes their way, you find a little bit of an emotional charge, you actually kind of liked hearing that news? Is anybody like that in your network of relationships? Here's something you can do. Praise God for that person, and then pray for that person. Praise God that he has saved that person and brought them into a relationship with himself, and perhaps you even get to know about that, and then pray for that person. I have found, well, two things. I have found I can be selfish when I pray. Wow, how about that? I learned that a few weeks back. Well, I probably knew it all along, but this hit me a number of weeks ago. I've had a prayer team praying for me and for the series and for you folks. You didn't know that. About 12 people who don't attend this church, I wanted some outside prayer warriors praying for us in here. You know, there's no skin in the game. Just pray. I'm going to teach the Word of God, talking about our defeated enemy, the devil, and things that he wants to do. I don't want to get attacked. Please pray. And so we've had someone... I think most weeks, thank you, prayer walking around the facility. I was so moved by that, I decided I'm going to prayer walk. I've been praying and fasting on Wednesdays for you. I had a guy send me an email and say, hey, I just spent the last hour, I had to read this twice. Did you say that? I just spent the last hour in prayer for you. You're kidding. Where do you find friends like that? Wow. You have been well prayed for. I prayer walk in here. Sometimes I like to come up here and just picture people who are going to be here. And I pray for you. I pray for the Holy Spirit ministry in your life when you hear the Word of God proclaimed to you. So I was on my knees one morning, and I need to get back into praying for the nation. So I picked North Korea because they're number one in the world watch list in terms of persecution against Christians. So I prayed through some things for North Korea, and when I was done, I felt the Holy Spirit nudge me. You need to be doing more of that. Yeah. I've been praying for myself. For myself, for your benefit, though, right? Right? I just wanted to bless you, but I've been so focused on this series and what was going on and what could potentially happen, praying mostly for myself and the preaching and the series and how you were doing in response to that, not even engaged in terms of intercessory prayer until I actually joined into that, and God said, no, you need to get back to this. So I've been praying for countries who are intensely persecuting Christians, and you'll hear about that a little bit more next week. I'm never going to finish this message. I'm looking at the clock thinking, wow, I gotta actually do something that I wrote down here. Try praising God for that person and then praying for that person. Remember, our defeated enemy, the devil, has a strategy to deceive, divide, and destroy. Kind of like a divide and conquer mentality. Let's divide the marriage. Let's divide the family. Let's divide the church. He just loves division. Holy Spirit loves unity. Totally different track. Let's fill one in here. Parents, number six, you need to protect your children spiritually. Pray for your children spiritually. I don't throw away Bibles. I retire Bibles. And my favorite so far, and I've tried to use other Bibles up here, but I keep coming back to the 1984 NIV. NIV today is great. I just like the 1984. Did a lot of memory work in 84 and 84 version, not the year. Was I even a Christian? Yeah, I was. But in any case, I had this one recovered, and I gave it to him here. Can you fix it? Yeah. And it came back a month or two later. And I realized when it came back to me, you know, they put a new inside flap in here. But the real inside is this thing here that doesn't want to cooperate because it's been glued now. And then I found I had a bunch of sticky notes in here from years gone by. I like to mark up the Bible. I hope you do too. All kinds of stickies everywhere. So I looked in here. Here was a sticky note. And this predates me being here, but pray for kids. So I'm just guessing my kids were, I think we had three, and they were doing probably pretty well. But I've been praying 5 P's for my kids for years. Partners, purpose, purity, pals, and passion. So how did that go? Partners would be, someday they're going to get married, assuming that the statistics go out. Purpose, I pray that my kids would pursue God's purposes and not their own. Purity, that God obviously would keep them free from pornography and all things impure. Pals, friends in the Lord, but also friends that they could witness to. And passion for the Word of God. Now, where I got the idea to pray with vision was watching Jesus pray on the night he was betrayed. So let's go to Luke chapter 22. This little piece was actually in my notes already, but not quite the way I thought. Luke chapter 22. Let's take a look at that. So this is the Last Supper. Luke 22, Last Supper. A lot of conversation going on. And then Jesus, interestingly enough, predicts his betrayal. And in response to that, a couple of duds were arguing about who's going to be the greatest in the kingdom. I'm not sure how that fits together. Anyway, after all that stuff, Jesus, in very serious tone, turns to Peter and says, "Simon, Simon, Satan has asked to sift you as wheat." That ought to have been an attention getter. "Satan has asked to sift you as wheat, but I have prayed for you, Simon, that your faith may not fail. And when you have turned back, strengthen your brothers." So first of all, when I noticed this years ago, and I went back and I read Luke 22 a bunch of times. Okay, when did Jesus pray? "Satan has asked to sift you as wheat, but I've prayed for you." Okay, well, where was that? Where is that in here? And I couldn't find a prayer of Jesus in Luke 22. So it's sometime prior to that. Sometime before this night occurred, Jesus spent time praying for Peter, just looking down the pike. And remember, this is Jesus who predicted persecution was going to come, predicted his life was going to be taken from him. And he knows his disciples, his apostles, will incur the same fate. So before that ever came about, before there was a rumor of this happening, before it ever looked like events were about to transpire and unfold, where Peter was going to be attacked by Satan, Jesus had already prayed. And I just wonder, this is just this sheer speculation, totally free. Here's a tithe-free moment. So Jesus was praying. He prayed all night for the apostles, not to get the names, but he was praying for them because he had already known them for about a year. So Jesus spent the night in prayer for the apostles. I think what he was doing was he's praying with vision. He's praying for things that were going to occur. Parents, you need to pray that way for your kids. Some of you have lived 25, 30, 35 years and 40 years. You have kids in your home still. Oh, man, you know what's coming down the pike. You know at some point they're going to have friends. They're going to go to school. They're going to date. You know at some point in time in our culture they're going to look at pornography. You know they're going to be offered immorality. You know that, right? You know they're going to be offered drugs and alcohol. You know they're going to be offered chances to walk away from the Lord and to do something else that's more fun to them. You know they're going to find a better offer, right? You know these things are going to occur. Why wait until you find out about it to pray? Why wait until something happens, who tells somebody, and finally word gets back to you that he's hiding pot in his drawers at school? Why wait until that moment? Be praying now. Jesus looked down the corridor of time and he said, "Peter, Satan is asked, specifically, he is asked to sift you. Wow, that's unnerving. But take heart, I've prayed for you. And notice the prayer request. If I were Peter, I'd much rather hear other words. Take heart, I have prayed that your faith will not fail. No. The prayer request, Jesus, pray that it doesn't happen. Pray that Satan gets smacked. Pray that I am protected. I never even know about this. That's what I'd be asking. No, Jesus in essence said, it's going to happen. I'm going to let it happen. He's asked me, evidently, he got past me to get to you. But don't worry, because I've prayed and your faith isn't going to fail. It's going to hurt, but your faith isn't going to fail. Not exactly the way I would have made it up if I were making this up in the first century. Parents, you know there are things that will happen in the lives of your kids because you've lived your life. You've been a kid. Pray for your kids, knowing what it's like to be a child in this society. Pray for them. Pray in advance of those things coming down the pike. Paul asks for prayer, this kind of a vision. Chapter 6 of one more in, back to Ephesians. Ephesians chapter 6. Verse 19, pray also for me that whenever I open my mouth, words may be given me so that I will fearlessly make known the mystery of the gospel. When Paul wrote this, he's about 25, 30 years into a preaching ministry. What? You need words to say? My goodness, you're the Apostle Paul. Get out there. Just open your mouth. The words will come out. Just start talking and you will get the book of Romans. You know, just speak it and we'll get something amazing. Pray also for me that whenever I open my mouth, words may be given me. That just seems like the last thing Paul would need to press forward as a prayer request, but he does. Pray that words may be given me. Words, not just ideas. Words given me. That's very specific. So that I will fearlessly make known. I take it that the fearless aspect, which is again mentioned in verse 20, I take it that being fearless is being confident that he has a message that God wants him to speak. And you have that very same confidence because God has written down his message for you to read. Holy Spirit inspired word of God. Our defeated enemy, the devil, hates it when you pray. We know that. Hates it. He will do everything he possibly can to keep you from the business of praying altogether. Hates it when you pray. In fact, look at it this way. If you ever get to the point where you pray and just saying this, dear God, you've incurred spiritual warfare. Every time you say, our Father in heaven, honor be your name. Every time you pray to God, for his sake, for his glory, you've had to endure spiritual warfare just to get there. You've been lied to. You've been harassed. Deception has been offered to you. You've been beaten. Just to get to that moment in prayer, that's why you don't pray as much as you think you should. Who wants this aggravation? Why does God allow spiritual warfare in our lives? We know the enemy is defeated, but why does God permit our defeated enemy, the devil, to exist and to be active in warfare against us? How will we ever learn to pray during times of spiritual struggles if there are no struggles? How will we ever learn to pray through pain if there is no pain? How can we pray and receive God's grace for what we need unless we don't have what we need already? How can God be strong for us unless we are weak? How can we trust God with the future if we don't know already that we don't control the future? How can we ask God to do battle for us unless we know that we are in a battle? It is the love of God that motivates him to allow you to step into the moment where it's hard and heavy and it hurts. Because in those moments, you learn more by way of experience than you will ever learn in the classroom. Do not run from the battle, run to the battle. Pray yourself strong and pray the church strong. Let's pray together. Our great and glorious God, we are forever grateful for the avenue of prayer that Jesus Christ purchased for us. And for some of us, Lord, it's been a bit dry lately. I mean, it's been a while since we spent uninterrupted time with you, allowing us to experience the pleasure of your presence. And yes, we are sorry for that. But we also ask that you'd give us whatever it is that we need. I'll just say, may your grace abound in our lives in such a way that we run to prayer and that we don't avoid it. We're coming to realize at the end of this series, and as we've spent a good chunk of time in the book of Ephesians, oh, we desperately need you. We need your armor, the whole armor of God, and we need to be prayerful people, without which we really don't have much of a shot. Please alert us to those moments when we need to be more prayerful, when we need to initiate. No matter how awkward it might feel or uncomfortable, we're asking you to lead us. Give us a prompting reminder that right now, with this person in front of a whole bunch of other folks, we need to stop and pray. Help us to get there. That our knee-jerk response, our first response, would be to pray and then to figure out later. Thank you, God, that you care about us that much, that you offer yourself to us, that we might talk to you and even ask you, dare to ask that you would do our bidding, hopefully for the sake and the glory of your Son, Jesus Christ. It's in his name I bring this prayer. Amen.